And you may have heard a quote by Martin Luther when he said, "Sin boldly, sin boldly." And at first glance, that might sound a little odd. Isn't the whole point of being a Christian trying to avoid sin? And here Martin Luther is saying, sin boldly. What does he mean when he tells you to sin boldly? Is he telling us to sin? Well, we need to remember that in Luther's day, it was very dangerous to sin. Yeah, even if you were a Christian who did everything you were told to do by the church, you could commit a mortal sin without knowing it and then be condemned to hell. You could never be truly sure that you had done enough. You could never be truly confident that God would accept you. If you forgot to confess your mortal sins or do the works of penance for them, you would be lost. And so Luther is reminding us of the simple fact that we are sinners. Christ didn't come to save hypothetical sinners out there who may possibly sin, but actual, real-life sinners like you and me. Every time we fail to love God with all of our being, we're breaking what Jesus calls the greatest commandment. Every time we fail to love our neighbor as ourselves, we are breaking the second greatest commandment. And so Luther is reminding us that Christ actually saves sinners, real sinners, not sinners that exist out there, but sinners that exist right here. Sinners that, despite all of their best efforts, commit a so-called mortal sin of breaking the greatest commandment every day of their lives, failing to love God with all of our being. And he's reminding us that you are going to sin. And so when you do sin, not that you should try to, but when you do, because that's a reality, remember that Christ saves sinners. That Christ really does save us no matter what we do. We cannot sin enough to separate ourselves from Christ. And so when we do sin, as we inevitably will, we can't lose sight or lose heart of the fact that Christ saves actual sinners who commit actual sins. Again, not hypothetical or fictional sinners. And so when Luther says sin boldly, he's telling you, look at Christ and trust him for your salvation. Now, he also goes on to remind us that the Christian life is a life of repentance. Again, we are real sinners. We actually sin every day of our lives. And because we are true sinners, and because Christ is a true Savior, we shouldn't fear to confess our sins, either to God or to one another. When we do sin, we can't lose heart in our Savior, and in that sense, we sin boldly. So as we talk about confession today, and we talk about repentance as a vital part of the Christian life, we're remembering what God says about us is true. We are sinners, and Christ is a great Savior. And so Proverbs has a few words to say about the confession of sin being a regular habit of a Christian seeking to grow in wisdom. God says in Proverbs 29, "Who can say, 'I have made my heart pure, I am clean from sin'?" Right? We are actual sinners. We are real sinners. Proverbs 28:13-14 says, "Whoever conceals his transgression will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Blessed is the one who fears the Lord always, but whoever hardens his heart will fall into calamity." And then in James 5:16, sometimes called the Proverbs of the New Testament, James says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another." And so throughout Scripture, we see this regular reminder that we are to confess our sins, first to God, and then we also should confess to those we have wronged. And we shouldn't be afraid to confess because we know that we are sinners, that none of us can say, "I have a clean heart, I am pure from sin." A regular part of the Christian life should be this confession, saying, "I have sinned against you, God. I have failed to love you with all of my being. Forgive me in Christ." Or going to your teacher or to your classmate, "I have sinned against you. I have wronged you. Will you forgive me?" And confessing these sins because we are real sinners. Today, as we go throughout the day, you will sin. Right? You don't necessarily want to, you don't necessarily intend to, but you will sin. So remember that part of the Christian life is this regular habit of confessing sin when we do sin. But confession is often scary. Confession is often difficult. It's often hard to go up to someone who you have wronged and said, "I was wrong. Will you forgive me?" Here's a quote from a philosopher who talks about how it's actually you are actually happier when you are caught for something you've done wrong and punished for it than if you get to go away uncaught. So here's what he says. This is Boethius. It may seem incredible to some, but it must be the case that the wicked, those who do wrong, are less happy if they achieve their desires than if they're unable to do what they want. For if desiring something wicked brings misery, greater misery is brought by having had the power to do it, without which the unhappy desire would be unfulfilled. The wicked are happier if they suffer punishment than if they are unrestrained by any just retribution. So let me read that one more time, and then I'll explain. It may seem incredible to some, but it must be the case that the wicked are less happy if they achieve their desires than if they are unable to do what they want. For if desiring something wicked brings misery, greater misery is brought by having had the power to do it, without which the unhappy desire would be unfulfilled. The wicked are happier if they suffer punishment than if they are unrestrained by any just retribution. So what he's saying is, while we often want to get away with sin and not get caught and try and do things without being detected by our teacher or by our parents, we're actually happier when we get caught and punished for our sins than when we get away unpunished. And I'm sure you can reflect that experience in your own lives when you have done something and you haven't gotten caught yet, but you're always looking over your shoulder. You're thinking to yourself, is today the day where they finally find out? Is today the day where I have to have that conversation with my parents? Will they catch me this time? And you have this anxiety and fear. And remember what you're getting away with. You're getting away with wickedness. You're becoming more wicked by getting away with it. Yet if you're caught and punished, you're corrected. You are directed back to the right path, and it's actually better to be caught and punished than to escape unpunished. But because confession is often fearful, we often like to think to ourselves, I will first conquer this sin that I'm dealing with, and then I'll confess it, and I can say, look, I used to deal with this, but no longer. Look how I conquered it, but I used to struggle with it. And confess after we've dealt with the sin. But then we continue on for months or sometimes years in the same sin, and then we think back to ourselves, I would have been so much happier if a year ago I had confessed this sin and dealt with it, instead of thinking to myself, I'll confess after I deal with it. So as we think about confession today, think about also how you can look to your own life, how you can confess first to God, then to the person you've wronged, but also think about how you can be a good friend to others. As friends, we often think it's better if we hear someone else confess something and then we are a good friend by covering it over with them, by preventing them from going to who they actually need to confess to. But remember, we are actually better off if we receive a punishment for our sins than if we escape uncaught. So be a good friend to your neighbor. Help them confess to those they need to. Don't cover over it or conceal it, but help them receive forgiveness and help them receive that cleansing and catharsis that comes from confessing our sins to one another and confessing to the appropriate people.